Governor Nathan Deal recently announced a new initiative to train students in Georgia's university system for the film industry. But Georgia State University has already begun preparing students for the changing world of media in Georgia. It's developing a new line of study and opening a new building this fall called the Creative Media Industries Institute. Professor David Cheshire heads up the institute. He's the former chair of Georgia State's massive communications department. He spoke with me about the goals of the new program.
Basically, what we're aiming for is we want to do everything in our power to train students for work in the creative media industries. We've been doing that for a long time, of course. But we want to help Atlanta and Georgia achieve its aspirations as a global media capital. And so that's a large and ambitious goal, obviously. We're thinking about it in three specific ways. One is to scale up the workforce development that we're doing and to bring an interdisciplinary element to it. For more than 50 years, of course, we've been training students in music and the graphic arts and in film and TV and theater. And what we find now is that if we're going to best prepare our students for work in this very fast-changing industry, we need to pull those programs together. And so if a student aspires, for example, to be a game developer or a game designer, you really can't achieve that by simply majoring in film or minoring in music. You really have to have technical skills that are brought to the table. So that's one thing. Secondly, we're hoping to scale up the industry-ready research that we're doing. So we've identified some areas that we think are cutting edge: augmented and virtual reality production and media analytics and audience response. Then finally, we're trying to do more to build our culture of entrepreneurship.
Ooh.
And so we want to train students so that they can not only develop creative passions, but learn how to build careers out of those passions.
So all the negative stuff we've heard about students graduating with thousands of dollars in debt and no job, you're addressing that in this institute.
That's the hope. I feel like Georgia State's always provided a really good, accessible deal for students who join us. Of course, many come in on Hope Scholarship funding, and we've worked hard to keep our tuition low, but it is a challenge. If you imagine it, think about the audacity or the bravery that's expressed by a student. Maybe she's the first to go to college in her family, and one day she announces to her parents, "I want to draw comics for a living," or "I want to be a professional opera singer or a graphic designer or a game developer." Too many voices in our culture disparage that audacity. And I'm of the view that we must never do that.
Because of a pop culture, high culture
disparity?
Oh,
you'll never make a living in that, or games. You want to go to college to study games?
Well, I know all kinds of composers who have found work through video game design.
They do. 170,000 Americans are employed in the game design and development industry, and it's a growing sector here in Georgia. So what we're thinking about is, if the student ignores those voices of caution and decides to pursue his or her passion, we think we have a special responsibility to help that student find their way and to join our programs so that they can be more savvy to how to navigate the fact that most of these industries are freelance-based at this point. You don't go to work for a studio and live there for 50 years. It's project by project by project, and oftentimes there are no health insurance benefits. It's a catch-as-catch-can industry. And my feeling is that the students who are dedicated and have a talent and are passionate and well-mentored will end up giving us back gifts that actually are priceless: wisdom and hope. But I'm not naive either about the world they'll enter. The media arts are fast changing. And so I think what we have to do is to connect those students to those who have succeeded and to put them into constant contact with the world of work in the media arts. So that's what we're aspiring to do.
Is there an actual major in media studies?
We're launching two programs of study this fall, in fall 15. Both are Bachelor of Interdisciplinary Studies concentrations, one in game design and development and the other in media entrepreneurship. And so what the beauty of those programs is that they offer a student a long menu of potential courses, and then the student packages the courses they think will best serve them. And then they get approval for that program of study and then take the courses that they need.
Are you raiding the music department and visual art here?
I prefer to say that we're partnering with the music and visual arts programs. Now, some of the faculty in very limited number will move their appointments into the institute, but the core model is really full partnership. We don't want to duplicate what's already going on in our School of Music or in our Welch School of Art and Design or in our Department of Communication. So core programs are underway, they're growing, they've been successful for many years, and so we're not trying to reinvent that wheel. What I'd rather do is work with the faculty in those programs and say, how can we take an additional step? Not every student, for example, who is learning voice or violin or graphic design has entrepreneurial aspirations, and that's fine. But for those who do, I think we want to offer a pathway so that they might be able to add a fifth year master's degree in that broadens them into entrepreneurship or certificate programs and such.
Jobs, clearly the goal here.
Yeah.
We've seen so many recent films and television productions.
Boy, we sure have.
Made here in Georgia. What's the economic impact of that business?
Well, it's enormous. In the film and TV area, in 2014, an economic impact exceeding $5 billion was generated. And depending on the estimates, that sector now employs as many as 80,000 Georgians. The music industry is a parallel success story, more than $3.7 billion in economic impact. About 50,000 musicians find their work in Georgia. The games industry is smaller but fast-growing. It's a $2 billion economic impact. A lot of this has been facilitated, of course, by the tax credits, which has brought a lot of business to Georgia, and which supports film and TV production and game design and development in the music industry. There's work to do on all fronts. I would say where we're at is that we've built such a good foundation for those industries here, and obviously a lot of creative work has long been done in Atlanta and in the state of Georgia. And now what we really need to do is find a way to make that permanent, to really build a foundation so that that work will continue here, irrespective of whether the tax credit goes up or down in any given year. And so I think we're closer there on the film TV side. Nearly 200 productions were done in the state of Georgia last year. And I think we have a ways to go, and with some more work, we can get there on the music side and on the game side also.
Because initially, the attraction was that Georgia's a right-to-work state, wasn't
it? That was part of it. It's interesting, though, because the main production shops that now come here don't really utilize that fact in ways that you might expect, because they're doing international business, and they're working well with unions and performance groups all over the world. And so, for example, the decision made by Pinewood Studios to relocate and build that mammoth, wonderful production center down outside of Peachtree City, at the end of the day, I don't think it had very much to do with the right to work. I think it had more to do with how easily people, talent, can be brought in and out of this city. The fact that within 100 miles of the city, you can find all kinds of location diversity for shooting, and that the crew base has been built here. So all kinds of factors, I think, come together. Years ago, when I first came here, I came about the time the Olympics were in Atlanta. When I first came, it was actually a very difficult proposition for a film passionate student to do work, because they had to spend hundreds of dollars a semester to get their film developed and to have access to very expensive computers. Well, today we have students who come in who have been making films on their tablets and laptops since they were 9 years old. And so it raises the bar in really magnificent ways, and we're able to take them, I think, to the next level of production technology.
In audience research also about 20 years ago when I had my first exposure. There was an acronym, PUR, Persons Using Radio.
Yeah.
I thought, people don't use radio. They listen to the radio and relish what they hear. You know, we've come from that to how do people consume media? And essentially, that's what you're addressing.
It's a big part of it. In the journalism profession, for example, almost every program in the United States that was training people trained by medium. You joined a print concentration or a telecommunications concentration or public relations. That's necessarily changed because now the same reporter or journalist who's on air in the morning may be writing for a website in the afternoon. And so it's really had transformational impacts. We're thinking about it in a new media sense in this new institute. At a low level, one of the obvious questions is, if you're a content creator, how is it that you modify or create content knowing that someone may be watching your film, I'll put that in scare quotes, on a screen that's as small as a postage stamp with one of those new Apple Watches, or a screen as large as an IMAX theater? How's the experience of engagement different? One of the other issues we're thinking about is, I think it's fair to say, and few would disagree with me, that these industries face an incredible diversity crisis. The Gamergate controversy of a few months ago, the extraordinary and I would say outlandish underrepresentation of women at senior levels in film companies and in film productions. There's a real gap between the media that's being made and the audience that's watching and consuming that media. And I think that's something we can address with thoughtful interventions. Part of it is just the diversity of our campus. Our campus looks like America. It's diverse and rich and wide-ranging in every possible respect. I think we'll only be more so once we finish consolidating with Georgia Perimeter, and I'm excited about that. That expands our geographical reach and gets us all over the metro. So there are a lot of ways in which I think the media transformations can really be engaged and thoughtfully critiqued. And, you know, one of the examples, of course, one of the shining lights here in our own media ecosystem is Tyler Perry and his story. He was in Hollywood, has done work out there. He's obviously doing work here. But that decision not to go all in Hollywood, I think, reflects an ongoing problem when it comes to the generation of new media content. And I think that's an issue that we can tackle by research and also by just simply training our diverse students to develop their own ideas and to thoughtfully think about owning their own ideas and building careers. So we're working with our law school on topics like intellectual property rights and all the rest.
Included in your diverse student population are seniors.
For sure. Yeah.
And I wondered about special classes to acquaint or address unfamiliarity with new media.
It's a topic we're looking at. One of the most popular and fast-growing impulses is a program that provides discounts for students over the age of 62 to come back and get an education in whatever they want to pursue. And I'm increasingly in conversation with people who thought they wanted to do one thing, and so they got into business or sold real estate or drove a truck or whatever and made a good living at it, and now they want to pursue their passion. Well, what's your passion? I always wanted to make a film or something like that. And so there's a place for that for sure. There are a lot of special populations that I think we're well situated to support. Veterans are really interested, I find, in this kind of work, and the logistics of production work are often attractive. You've probably seen the story that circulated that The Daily Show had developed a particular outreach to veterans who are returning, who wanted to work in the business. So in all kinds of ways, I think we can be attractive to students who want to simply learn more about how the new media works.
Well, speaking of attractive, You got a $22 million grant.
Isn't that wonderful?
To build your new home.
That's right. It's wonderful. The what that grant does is it supercharges everything.
That's from the Woodruff Foundation.
From the Woodruff Foundation. $22.8 million it's an extraordinary investment, and we're thrilled and delighted about it. Most of that money will go to finish a full renovation of a three-story building, which we're converting into a media center, digital arts center, at the corner, at the south end of Woodruff Park, at the corner of Edgewood and Park Place. As it happens, that's a three-story building, and the three stories match perfectly with the programming emphases I was laying out before. So there's a first floor with tall, wonderful ceiling height, so we can put production studio space in there, then an entrepreneurship center on the second floor, and research laboratories on the third. The grant has us on what's now, I guess, a 15-month or so timeline, and so renovation will begin this fall, and then we're trying to open that building up next fall in 2016. The gift is really remarkable for another reason, too. The campus, as you know, has been creeping north and west.
And I don't think
taking over downtown in all the best ways. But if you were to plan it, I don't think one could have planned a better ecosystem for arts entrepreneurship than what now encircles Woodruff Park. Within a block of Woodruff Park, you've got the Digital Arts Entertainment Lab, the Rialto Theater, the Schools of Music and Art, all the programs in creative writing, film, and the rest. Our new law school building opening up next month at the north end of the park. That new building gives them space to expand the intellectual property center. The business school and policy schools are moving in to a park-facing building. So we're working on social entrepreneurship and the connections that has to media making. The Flatiron Building right across the park is not a Georgia State University property or project, but we're closely partnered with them because media is at the heart of what they're doing as well. So if you were to create a place for students who wanted to put all the pieces together, I think it's really a perfect location. The streetcar goes right around that corner where the cube, as I call it, that three-story building is located. And so we're also hoping that when tourists and visitors and students walk by that building, they'll immediately know that this is a place where creative work is going on.
Because it will be
visible, transparent, open for view, big, tall windows on all levels. And so we're hoping to show to the outside world as they walk by the work that's going on inside. If you think about it, I heard the other day that there are 300 recording studios in the city of Atlanta. I had no idea. And I feel like I'm reasonably well informed about all this, but if you asked me to name 10 of those, I'm not sure I could do that. It's even though it's almost a $4 billion industry. Well, obviously a lot of that's going on in garages and basements, but that's fine. That's how production works. But there are very few places in the city where one recognizably comes upon a location and says, ah, this is a media capital. Everyone knows CNN Center, of course, and the Turner properties. On the academic side, part of our aspiration is to say, this is a place where media is made and that encourages creativity.
Well, Professor David Cheshire, you are an excellent ambassador for Georgia State.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.